gentlemen, I'm Joe Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow the GD Podcast on Twitter at the GD Podcast or shoot us an email at the GD Podcast at gmail.com. Today, Mike and I are going to talk about football, NFL, and college, talk a little bit baseball playoff race, delve into the pop culture corner, and Mike will talk about what's brewing in Mike's beer blast. Joining us today, I got two very special guests, J.J. Kowal and Dave Kaufman, will help us out with these topics. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey, Joe, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. Mike and I thought that you guys would bring some good flavor, a little color into the conversation, so we're looking forward to having you. We'll jump right into the NFL. It was so great to have it back last Sunday. I know you guys are all, you know, Skins fans, so I'm going to throw it out to you. First question, should RG3 have been playing on Monday night?
That's a tough one to say. I mean, he didn't look great. I think it's just, you know, you got to wear the rust off. I think there was a lot of people that said he looked like hurt and he shouldn't be playing. I think he was limited. And his knees still probably hurt him a little. He probably was like 90% maybe, but he definitely needed to play. He's our best player on the team. He's got to be out there. He's got to work the rust off.
Yeah, I thought he looked more rusty than injured. I mean, he wasn't hobbling around. It didn't seem like he was – they didn't have a lot of the read option plays that they had that they did so well with last year. So he wasn't, you know, blistering down the sideline or anything like that. So just like Mike said, it's going to take a few games to get the timing down with the receivers at game speed. And once he does that – I mean, I'm not expecting a win against the Packers, but if they can at least look like they're improving on offense, then that's all we really need to head towards the second half of the season.
Yeah, I'm a Snyder and Shanahan. Just run the tread off the tires. Like 3 years to get a Super Bowl, and that's it. I mean, he's not going to last, so just put him out there.
Yeah, and, you know, I think RG3, he set himself up for failure, too. You know, it was this whole ready for week one stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, people expect, you know, it's RG3. He's going to come back and have the greatest game in the world. But in reality, you know, it took Adrian Peterson 3 or 4 games to get in the swing of things. And he had one of the greatest rushing seasons of all time. So I think you give him 2 or 3 more games, and I think you'll see the old RG3. And you saw it towards the end of the last game, and that was, you know, a half used to work the rust off. You know, when they play Green Bay this weekend, I don't expect them to turn the ball over 3 times in 6 or 7 possessions.
Yeah, I thought he should have been playing too, because I think what hurt him the most was that he didn't play in the preseason.
Right.
So I mean, at some point he's got to play. The only way he's going to get unrusty is to get out there. So if he was medically ready, why not just put him out there week one? I think the key thing was just getting used to the Eagles' new high flying offense.
Yeah, I saw a good stat about that though. I mean, they said, you know, oh my gosh, they're running so many plays here in the first half, and they ran a ton in the first half, but. There was, I think, 3 teams that ended up running more plays than them. The Patriots had about 15 more, which is ridiculous. But I saw another good stat that Chip Kelly's total plays, total yardage, and score were virtually identical to what Redskins' debut head coach.
Spurrier.
Yes. It was like a point off,
wow.
A yard or two here, and maybe a play or two off. It's hilarious. So
that's bad news for the Eagles.
I'm hoping that's the same career path as Spurrier.
Yeah, exactly. Spurrier was the next coming of a god, and then he sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, you know, I heard an interview over the radio, and D'Angelo Hall, as much as I hate him, had a great point. I mean, that 18, 19-year-old kids, yeah, they can run something like that for 4 quarters. They'll be gassed at the end. But when you start dealing with 28, 30-year-old men, to keep up that pace and how much harder these guys hit and how much faster they are, I mean, that's nearly impossible to ask those guys to do it for 4 quarters. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out over the season.
Yeah, that's a really good point about the age and the endurance of pros versus college athletes. Was there any other concerns you guys had about the Redskins that first week?
The fumbles, like Mike said, with the turnovers, the Morris. I mean, what was it? His first carry or one of his first 2 carries? I mean, he looked off, but I mean, the whole offense looked off for the first 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, I don't think you can blame the pitch on Morris. That was just a bad pitch by RG3.
Right.
And then RG3 just thrown into triple coverage and stuff. I think it was just bad. It really was, and people want to yell it. Shanahan and the coaches, it was bad execution by the players. I think that's what you boil it down to.
Yeah, and I think it was just trying to do too much in the first half. So it's not a bad loss, you know. Like, my Super Bowl champion races. No, I'm a lifelong fan. They had a bad loss in the first one. But in Denver in the first week, you know, who cares? In Philly, you know, a division rivalry, it's Philly. You should probably beat them, but it's not a terrible first loss.
Speaking of the Denver-Baltimore game, though, I think it is ludicrous that Angelos and the Orioles refuse to move a Thursday night game in order to host the kickoff for the NFL.
That was a little bizarre.
And they drew 17,000 fans, by the way. They're climbing up the walls to get in there.
Well, they said the Baltimore Sports Talk Show said that MLB sets that like years in advance, and it's really more the MLB's decision, not the Orioles' decision. So,
don't you think Angelos could have said, "Look, go to the MLB and say, why don't we just do a doubleheader on Friday?"
I don't know. I don't know the logistics of it and how
it's
it works.
Insane
but
to me. That
I think you
out.
Blame the Orioles and the MLB as a whole, not just the Orioles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they didn't want to seem like they were being pushed around by football, is my guess. They wanted.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the little brother in Baltimore who's a little brother to Washington. They don't want to take anymore.
I just find it hilarious that Flacco banners were downtown Denver. Pissed off. I didn't realize Denver had such like rabid football fans, but it's supposedly like they just love their football there.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the Flacco thing, that was through Sports Authority, right?
Yeah.
They
were really hurt, though, supposedly. Like, people were not happy.
Wow.
Like I said, thinking back to that, the playoff game from last year was probably the first thing in their minds.
Uh-huh. So we didn't get to I didn't get to watch the Rams game. I don't know if you guys did. What did you think about your Rams?
Well, I picked them, to win six games, and this past Sunday was one of the games I picked them to win at home against Arizona, so I was glad they took care of business. The good of that game was that they were down late by 11, and they were able to come back because the last few years, when they usually would go down, they stay down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was nice to see them actually, they outscored the Cards, I think 14-0 in the fourth quarter. So it was promising. I think the Rams could actually have playoff potential, but they play in what's now finally the toughest division in the league, I think.
Yeah.
Because they got to play Seattle and San Francisco, two times apiece. That just really kills any chance they have of making the playoffs.
And I heard supposedly Carson Palmer looked okay, right?
He did. I was actually surprised. I mean, anything was going to be an upgrade over what they had at that position last year. But he played well. I thought the Rams played a little bit too far off of their receivers for my liking.
Yeah.
But I understand when you got Fitzgerald out there, you have to give him a few yards of cushion.
Yeah. He's amazing.
He really is. It seems like as long as he has someone decent throwing him the ball, he'll get his yards. But it wasn't a bad start for them. I think it would have been a really bad loss if they had lost to Arizona at home week one. And I hadn't realized that was their first home, their first opening win since the 2006 season. It's been a long time since they've been 1-0.
That's crazy.
I was looking at the stats. I saw that Austin was only targeted 7 times, which I thought they were going to work him in as a huge part of the offense. And I didn't see the game, so I don't know how kind of the flow went, but it's sort of surprising to me that he only got half a dozen targets.
Yeah, I was disappointed in that because I was thinking they made this trade to get this guy. I thought he was going to be featured a lot more. And I just think, I don't know, Schottenheimer just got a little he got uncreative for a while. I think the Rams just get stagnant on offense. I'm thinking, you finally have a guy who can stretch the field, and they didn't use him that much. So I'm hoping that will change going through once he gets a little bit more used to the NFL speed.
Right, and I mean, another positive note, they got the win and didn't target Austin that much. I also saw that Richardson was only averaged just over 3 yards a carry. 20 carries for 63 yards, which is not what you would expect out of that guy.
He was supposed to be the man. But.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of the reason they felt comfortable letting Steven Jackson go, who they'll actually face on Sunday this week.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize that.
So that should be a good game. Speaking of week two, you guys, Skins are in Green Bay, right, this week?
In Green Bay, yes.
Sadly, they are. Actually, you start off 0-2. That's pretty much doom and gloom for your season. But I don't know. Maybe the Redskins will pull off what they did last year.
For last year,
yeah. I mean, statistically, it's just
you don't want to.
It doesn't ever usually happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough opener. But I mean, the Green Bay's defense didn't shut down San Francisco, and San Francisco's got a dynamic quarterback like RG3, so if he wears a little bit more rust off and can air the ball out, I mean, there's a chance at least. I don't think it's the first time in a while, you know, whenever I thought of a Redskins game, I was like, well, we're either going to get lucky and win or we're just going to get blown out. But yeah, now that we have RG3, I feel like we have a chance to win any game, which is nice.
Yeah, it's a
they're only 7-point dogs, which I was sort of surprised. I was like hopping right around 6.5, 7, and I thought Green Bay at home should be closer to 10. But
yeah,
you can get some points. The thing I didn't like last week was the defense. So, I mean, if the defense can improve, we can definitely score enough. It's just whether the defense can hold them, which is tough.
There's a blog I read. They do an interesting take, and you say, if the Redskins do something, they're going to win. If the Redskins do something, they're going to lose. And it seemed like the consensus for everyone is if they can establish a run game and get, you know, Alfred Morris over 100 yards, they're probably going to win. And if they don't win the turnover battle, they're probably going to lose. So we'll see. It'll be an interesting game. But it's either going to be close, Redskins pull it out, or Green Bay is just going to shellack us. And it's going to be an ugly-ass appearance. I don't think we come out and pull a New Orleans Saints victory like the beginning of last year and just completely – I mean, that's the first time I remember watching a Redskins game just like jaw open in awe the entire game. I was like, this is not the Redskins. So we'll see what happens. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking because I'm looking forward to seeing that game because last week the Packers played Kaepernick to stop him from running, and he passed all over him. So I'm wondering if they're going to try to play the same defense with RG3 or if they learned their lesson and realized they can't set their defense one particular way.
Yeah, you could tell they came out and made a point that, like, because they just got run over all last year, and they're like, we're going to stop the run. But, you know, they couldn't stop both, which was interesting. So I think RG3, you know, he's got another week. He's finally got that game day under his belt. That just helps out so much. So if he can throw a little bit more accurate, we could be doing all right.
Yeah, that should be good. That should be a good game. There's a bunch of good games, but talking about a little bit about stats, I figured I'd just shift it over to talk a little fantasy. Mike told me you guys are all in the same league.
Yep. I whooped Dave's butt last week. It was fantastic. I was telling you earlier, though, Dave's always projected to win by like 35 points, and his team constantly underperforms.
I don't think I've ever gotten projected points once. But I will tell you, the thing that stood out most to me about week one was the running backs were nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, they were horrible.
I think McCoy had 100 plus, and I think there was maybe one other guy, but other than that, it was nothing. There was no running backs.
I just needed Morris to get like 100 yards and a touchdown. He didn't come close.
Yeah.
The receivers tore it up, though. I mean, it's a passing league now.
It's shifted so fast, too. I mean, I usually feel like when the NFL changes the vibe, it takes 5-10 years to kind of go in a certain direction. I feel like this passing game has flipped on in the last 3 or 4.
I look like a genius for keeping David Wilson and letting you have Ridley, huh?
Both guys are pretty awesome right now.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So that brings me to my big question. I don't know if you guys have any dilemmas, but my big dilemma this week is my flex spot.
Wait, you're asking our suggestions to help you beat us. Okay, just clarify. Got it.
Oh, come on. We're all friends here.
Got it. Start a kicker in your flex. That's my suggestion.
Start a kicker in your flex. No, but a legitimate question. Do you start DeSean Jackson or David Wilson? I don't know. I think I'm leaning towards DeSean Jackson just because he's the number one and that offense looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, usually I go with the hot hand and that sort of thing. You know, one guy's clearly going up and the other guy is clearly going down right now. So I don't think Wilson is necessarily going to continue that trend, and same with Jackson, but it certainly seems like DeSean is there, one of the keystones to that offense.
Yeah, but on the flip side, you analyze it, and, you know, David Wilson's the number one RB, so he's definitely guaranteed probably the more touches.
But they just brought in Jacobs.
Yeah, but they're just saying Jacobs is more as, like, a mentor to the guy. And
you don't think he's going to hawk goal line carries?
I mean, he probably hawk goal line carries, too.
Yeah.
Well, at least David Wilson didn't cry this season when he fumbled the ball twice. I'm sitting him. I'm playing Jackson. That's my decision. How about you guys?
God, I hope Wilson goes for like 300 and a touchdown.
Of course you do.
That would be awesome.
God, I hate you. So, I cannot look at your avatar in Fantasy Pro. It's horrible.
We'll save that discussion for another podcast.
What are your
guys'
team names?
Do you guys have any dilemmas like mine, or are you feeling pretty confident about your team this week?
I had the same thing as last week. I got Romo and Manning.
Oh.
I played Manning last week out of one. I played Romo and lost. This week, I think Manning's got the Manning Bowl and Romo's got Kansas City.
Didn't Romo
so
have a halfway decent game?
He did, but Manning had like 14
points. That's right.
Manning had like
he blew it up. He had like 450 yards or something crazy.
So, and that's what I hate. When I got him, I'm like, I like having two quarterbacks because I can see who they're matched up against and play somebody. But at the same time, I got to make a decision every week. And, you know, it's usually the wrong one. So,
how about you, Dave?
No, I mean, my team, I have clear-cut starters and then a bunch of just, you know, hoping one of my bench guys is going to hit.
Yeah.
You know, I took Blackman and he's suspended. I got Bell for Pittsburgh, so hoping those guys come around. But making the decisions, it's pretty straightforward for my team.
Yeah.
So who you got, Manning or Romo?
Manning or Romo?
Yeah, Manning against his brother and Romo against the Chiefs, the Chefs.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'd go with Romo.
He seems like a more fantasy guy, doesn't he? Like he seems like he always puts up fantasy stats.
Yeah,
he does.
Both of them, I hate both of them with a passion, but
sure.
They're both fantasy guys, so I figured I'd get them.
Well, you figure if Peyton pokes up another 7 touchdowns, then Eli's going to be playing from behind the whole game.
That is true.
And then he's playing his brother.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
So it's a shootout.
Games, so.
And he'll be amped up because he wants to beat his brother's butt.
Right.
All right, I'll pick Eli.
That took a lot of convincing.
You convinced me.
Out of curiosity, I was wondering what your guys' team name. I was curious what people's team names are in fantasy.
So our format was you have to involve the name of where you live. So
okay.
I live in Canton, Baltimore. So I'm the Canton Nubbins.
Okay.
My team is the Federal Hill or Charm City Pecan Sandies, which is a shout out to the Always Sunny in Philadelphia band.
That was a great episode.
That was a good one.
And I started mine when I first moved to Baltimore. I'm the Baltimore anti-Ravens, but now I'm petitioning the commissioner to make a change now that I'm a lifelong Ravens fan.
Katie must have hacked her team name. Yeah. Baltimore, I love the Ravens.
Super Bowl champions.
Right.
Those are all really good.
So bad for so long.
Maybe this is their year, you know?
Could be.
Yeah, that division's pretty wide open.
With RG3 in the last.
So did you guys all survive in the our pool this past week?
Barely. I was hoping that the Patriots lost. I was joning on Dave the whole time while we were sitting here. I thought for sure they were going to lose. But then I picked Indianapolis, and they almost lost, too.
Who did you pick? Was this Mets' league?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got the old Ravens and the Steelers.
So oh, good, yeah.
Last week.
The Ravens and the Steelers? That's gutsy.
I had, I'm in three, and I had the Patriots in one and Indy in two. And then this week I picked the Patriots in two of them, figuring, well, if they suck the first week, maybe it's good to just burn their pick and get them out, and they just barely squeak by. So I'm kind of glad because, I mean, they look atrocious.
Dude, the Jets had a chance to win it at then.
Oh, yeah. They I just
the Geno step. Just overthrew, like, three wide-open receivers.
Yeah. They won
both
games
it could have been a blowout, actually.
They won by a total of 5 points.
Wow.
In both weeks. They are – but then it's
– the weather was horrible. It was, like, pouring out rain.
It started raining, yeah, midway through.
So you pick New England, and that's it?
Yep.
Wow. You put all your eggs in one basket.
Hey, man.
I went crazy, and I picked the Bengals.
Ooh.
So we'll see what happens with that.
That's the Monday night game, right?
Wait till Monday night, but I was like, I'm figuring their D is pretty good, and the Steelers looked atrocious.
We watched that game.
We watched that game.
It set back the NFL offense about 50 years.
Oh, it's horrible. I kept on telling Dave, I was like, if you ever want to convince somebody to hate the NFL, you just replay this game to them. Because it was the most boring game I've ever watched.
Oh, it's awful.
And that they, Pouncey, that's our big O lineman, yeah. He's down and out.
Yep.
They don't have any running backs. Their receivers suck. They just aren't good.
Yeah.
And the Bengals' defense is one of the best in the league, so I figured they'd be able to shut them down.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Hopefully they win.
Here's a question. Why? I feel like every year the Patriots have about 35 draft picks. How are they not destroying people? Are they a terrible drafting team?
I think it's part of it.
But they still win, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even matter. They got a scheme that works.
Yeah.
That's what they really have. And then they got random guys like Edelman. I mean, where'd that dude come from?
Yeah, they pulled guys out of their ass.
Yeah.
It's like they're amazing all of a sudden.
I don't think it's been talked enough how sick Denver is. I mean, Denver's going to be hard to beat.
Their receiving core is stupid.
Adding Wes Welker to the ridiculous offense that they have.
That tight end rookie that just got two touchdowns.
No, he's a gigantic human being.
He's a large man.
When I saw him, and Peyton Manning even said it, he's like, that's my secret weapon. Supposedly, I think it was in jail or something. I was hoping to get out of jail for the season or something.
Sounds about right.
But he is a gigantic human being. And they don't even need to run the ball. Peyton just decides to run the ball when he needs a break.
Oh, yeah. I think people forget that if that DB doesn't slip, they go to the AFC Championship game last year.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who do you got in the Survivor League, Joey?
Well, I have three slots left. I picked New England on Thursday, too, and sweated that out.
Yep.
I also have the Ravens over the Browns.
Ooh, they dominated the Browns forever, though.
Yeah, and then I got Houston over Tennessee, I think that's going to be a tougher game than I first thought after the way they, you know, beat Pittsburgh last week. I'm hoping that that was more Pittsburgh being bad than Tennessee being sneaky good, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Because other than that, I just thought all the other games just were kind of too tight. Although, if I wasn't a Rams fan, I'd probably pick Atlanta beating the Rams. That game's in Atlanta.
Yeah,
good pick.
But have you guys ever picked against your team? I just couldn't imagine rooting against my team for four quarters like that.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
I have so many rules for myself. Like, has to be home. Has to be, you know, more than a 6-point spread. The weather has to be good. Basically, like one team a week that I have to pick. Otherwise, I'm against all my superstitions.
Yeah, I try to avoid picking road teams, too, unless it's like a really good team against a really bad one. But, yeah, I try to stick with home teams, too.
Yep.
So we think so what would you say is the best bet now that the Thursday game is passed? What would you guys say is the best bet for our Survivor Pool listeners?
I like the Houston pick. I think I think their offense is always, you know, sort of right a little above average. They got the weapons that could clearly score at any time. And then their D, I mean, Watt is just ridiculous. So, at any game, at any point in time, they could just turn it up and just smash somebody. So,
I like my Bengals pick, man.
I think they win that game. I think they're at home. It's Monday night, and like you said, the Steelers are just on the mend so badly. I mean, Roethlisberger is pretty much by himself out there now. So I think that's they should.
AJ Green is going to tear him a new one. He's so
sick.
Good.
Wait, we just talked about how you said that the Bengals pick was a good. That's the first time that's been said since the early 90s.
I know, it's crazy, yeah.
I haven't heard that since the Icky Shuffle.
What do you think, JJ?
I like the Ravens. I come back and the want revenge. And they're not playing Peyton this week, so.
Yeah, but I think
we'll take care of it.
Ray Rice probably has a big game, too.
Yeah, I think people probably panicked about the Ravens after that game, but I mean, it was in Denver. I mean, and against Peyton Manning. So I think people need to just remember that, you know, give the Ravens some time. That was just a tough way to start out the gate, I think.
Right. Yeah. Denver's tough to play in the middle of the season.
And they were hanging in there too until that bad call of they called it a catch. Remember?
Yeah. And they didn't challenge it. Yeah. Yep.
That was a huge momentum swing in that game.
Who knows?
Like, because they came out on fire and it looked like, oh my god, the Ravens might beat them.
That's a good point. I think that changed the game after they didn't challenge that, and then they kept going.
Dude, Oregon is so good. Their offense is ridiculous.
So they got the all yellows on today, right?
I hate their jerseys. The concept of their jerseys.
This is a ridiculous game.
They're just
orange
so ridiculous.
So we're doing this for the first time through Skype, and I see, you know, Mike's got his Penn State sweatshirt on, speaking of college football. So how are you guys feeling about this afternoon's game?
Yeah, buddy.
Well, they definitely need it's weird. They're putting up stats on offense. Their D is legit, but they're putting up stats on offense when they don't necessarily look that good, which is somewhat surprising. But especially against Eastern Michigan, the first half, they just could not get anything going. And then just decided, hey, let's play a ball game today, and then ended up blowing them out. So I think, I mean, everybody knows the stat of their, for their first two games, they're 2 of 26 on third down.
That's,
I mean,
not
that's
good.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I defer to Dave and JJ because I haven't actually, today will be the first time I watch a full game. From what I saw, the only thing that's really gotten me excited is I think Hackenberg's the real deal. And I think it'll be really cool to watch him over the next 4 years.
Well, that seems certainly like the media is gushing over him, too. They had a segment on ESPN this morning where they were talking about him, and I think Herb Street was saying that.
Just loving him.
Just, I mean, he looks like...
He looks the part.
He has the body, he has the form of an NFL quarterback. I mean, obviously he's a true freshman. He has a ways to go. But, I mean, he's putting up numbers that Penn State freshman quarterbacks have never done, not even senior quarterbacks.
I remember the first game too, that DeQuan Jones, he's still tearing it up.
Oh. So that was one of the stats I wanted to throw out there. He's leading the defense. He's a defensive tackle, and he has 18 tackles.
Jesus.
And our linebacker has 16, has 12 solo tackles.
Yeah. He's unbelievable.
That's ridiculous for a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... Their defense is like they've been for the past 12 years, you know, just like solid. They'll hold them to 10, 17 points or something like that. It just depends on what Hackenberg can do. And I think, he can come through with a couple of big scores. Got to get the running game going.
The next point I want to bring up.
The running game is hard.
I don't know what is Winnack's role at this point. So he was the leading rusher last year, rushed for 1,000 yards last year. This year he comes in as a starter, starts both games. But they sort of played the number two and number three at the end of the second game. They each ran for 100 plus and on less carries. And they looked way more sharp than Zwinek did. So I don't know if it's going to be one of those things where Zwinek has sort of a short leash. If he starts getting just 3 or 4 yards a carry, if they're just going to bring him into bruise on a third and short.
But, I mean, what really changed from last year? We didn't lose that many offensive linemen, and he was amazing last year, tore it up.
Right.
So, I don't know.
But
maybe it's a head thing.
Well, two things. Number one, it's the beginning of the season. You never know. College football, sometimes it's fluky like that.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, I don't ever really see Zwinek as a guy that's going to put up monster numbers.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be games where he puts up 100, 125, but he's not going to have the 80-yard touchdown runs. He's not going to have the numbers that some of the younger guys on our team
could see. Ligonier prodigy, bro.
Yeah.
It's coming from the rival of our high school.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think
Urbana.
Another thing that we didn't talk about, bring up too, is I think we have one of the best wide receivers in the entire country.
That's
Allen Robinson is just unbelievable to watch. Single-handedly won the game, the Syracuse game, when he came into the game after the second half. They held him out the first half. But if we didn't have him, I think we lose that game. I mean, we look like a disaster.
Right. Yeah. That's everybody's talking about Hackenberg, but really, that's where I feel confident is that they got two NFL tight ends and a clear NFL number one pick and receiver. You know, I think I could go like 30%.
Yeah.
Hickson, the wide receiver coach, has been coaching at college and the pros all for the last 30 years or whatever it is, and he said that Robinson's one of the best. Receivers that he's ever coached.
He's a freak of nature.
It's crazy.
Has Brenneman got any play time?
He started off on special teams, and he started at tight end.
Did he get any catches?
Catch. False start in his first snap.
Fantastic.
So that's good.
But I feel like, three,
him
two,
on the sideline next time.
3 years from now, him and Hackenberg can be a deadly combo.
Yeah, they got two NFL tight ends, not counting Brenneman. Probably will be. But
I just hope OB stays around.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
It's a shame that we've talked about this ad nauseum before, but he's such a good fit for this program. I wish he had the time to develop a full class.
Yeah.
You know, have 4 years worth of guys that are his guys.
Yeah.
Not 20 less scholarships a year, allowing us to go to BCS and bowl games, giving him the full slate. So that's not going to happen for another, 4 or 5 years to where we can get back to 100%.
Yeah. Right.
Then, I mean, so he's not going to be here for 10 years. I mean, let's be honest.
Right. So, I don't know, man. Maybe he gets touched by Joe Pa's ghost or something.
That would be amazing.
Certainly seems like it would be good now.
Yeah, he won't be there. I think he's gone. But hopefully, you know what's impressed me, I think, most about him is he's still pulling in sick talent after all the crap we went through.
Oh, yeah.
That's impressive.
I mean, you got the number one QB in the country, the number one tight end in the country. How are you pulling that down? And it's just because he was the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. People want to play for a guy like that.
Well, I mean, the benefit, I guess, the silver lining to the sanctions is that he can tell these freshmen, like, look, you go to an Alabama, you're going to be three deep.
Yep.
You come to Penn State, not only do we not have three deep, but we need your body on the field.
You're clearly the best. Like quarterback and some of our thin positions.
Yeah, our cornerback gets hurt. I'm going on the street in State College, and I'm pointing to a dude that I think looks like he can play football. That's my process.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is. That is a little bit of a silver lining, but I'm just – I get every Saturday I wake up and I just get super excited. It's like Christmas all over again.
Oh, yeah.
I love watching Penn State, and I'm super excited to watch the game today. Like you guys said, today you think it could be – it's one of those games, though. It kind of is a trap game because the team's not halfway bad.
No.
And, you know, it's a game you're expected to just blow out.
Sure.
And it could happen.
Right.
It could be another Michigan Akron, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see. Hopefully they come out. I think if they probably haven't clicked on all cylinders yet in one full game, right?
Yeah, that's
it'd be nice to see them click on all cylinders and the entire game just play a solid football game.
They've been playing, down to their competition a little bit.
Right.
I think, you know, I was worried about the game before. Now 3 beers deep, Joe. 40-7 12-year anniversary of the Penn State Nebraska game. They're gonna take it.
Hey, it's happening.
Put it all together today. Me and my blood pressure are gonna do it.
Maybe I'll leave the mic on and record us shouting at the TV during the game.
That would be fantastic.
We can add snippets of that in the sound clips of future podcasts.
I think we get fined by somebody for that one.
Well, bonus coverage. No, we'll just put a mature rating on this one. That's all.
Oh, man.
When the schedule came out, were you guys eyeing a possible 5-0 start when you looked at it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it lended itself perfect right into Michigan, which is a homecoming game. It's at night. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where you can't help but look at something like that and see, and, you know, sort of like last year when they ended up, once you get on a roll, I mean, that's huge. So if you come into the Michigan game 5-0 and can somehow, before today I thought that we were going to get slaughtered by Michigan, but now that certainly looks like a possibility.
You know, I mean, any team, even Alabama, they can get beat. I mean, Texas A&M, they did it last year. Any team can get beat. I don't think people state enough how freaking hard it is to go undefeated, and that's what you have to do in college football.
Right.
I mean, that is a hard freaking task to pull off.
All it takes is one bad Saturday, and that's over. So, yeah, it's really difficult.
Yeah, you come out flat against a good team, it's done. It's done and over with. So, but yeah, I think we have a chance to do all right. What do we predict? I forget what I predicted this year.
I think I said 8-4 with losses to the big guys: Nebraska, Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
That's
fair. I said 3 losses. I think we beat one of the big ones.
Yeah.
And I think you were on the same page, right?
Yeah. I would love to be proved wrong. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think we can. I think mine. I picked Nebraska, beat Nebraska at home. That's my hope.
I can see that.
I don't know what happened. Did they?
They
UCLA end up beating
UCLA? They better beat Nebraska.
Nebraska up 21-3 or
21-3,
and then UCLA scored like 35 on
unanswered points. Did you see how quick their running back is?
Ridiculous.
Their running back's ridiculous
in Nebraska.
But so UCLA won.
Oh yeah.
Boy,
like 27 points.
That was a bizarre game. It's lopsided in the beginning and then lopsided at the end in the other direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
Nebraska just gives up in the second half.
Yeah, I think Ohio State is going to destroy us.
That's
going to
be ugly. That's not one of those any given Saturday.
Yeah.
No.
It's going to be like a fifth grader football team playing against an NFL team. It could be ugly. But whatever, you can get lucky every now and then, too.
Michigan would be my favorite win if they could pull that off.
Yeah,
yeah,
I could do that.
Nebraska, Wisconsin, they'd get one of those three. Preferably Michigan.
So we're doing this in the middle of the Alabama A&M game, and say at halftime Alabama's up 28-14. Is that what you guys kind of expected? I mean, up, you know, kind of two touchdowns, or do you think it'd be a little bit closer, or how did you guys see this game shaping up going into it?
Not when it started 14-0.
Yeah.
It certainly seemed like they had all the momentum, and then just like JJ said, last year it was the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't honestly think that A&M's going to go up 14-0 on Bama and then continue that. I mean,
yeah,
Bama's just too good of a team to not make it competitive. Yeah. So if anybody's going to be up by two touchdowns, I would absolutely put my money on Alabama.
Right. And I was telling Dave, it seems like Alabama's like Miami in the early aughts. You know, they just kind of got tired of winning championships. You know, they won in 2000. They probably won it in 2002. You know, they were just like – they're just kind of like, let's get to the NFL here. Let's get through this game and get to the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's where Bama's at. So it's gonna be tough for them to go undefeated. But like Dave said, that you know they're not gonna get blown out in the game. So
they're that good. I mean, they've got five stars stacked, four deep at every position.
They can turn it on at any point.
Yeah, every time Bama steps on the field, I expect them to win by at least two touchdowns.
Well, I saw something.
That's what I think.
Ravel or somebody tweeted that the last time that Alabama wasn't favored was in 2009, I think.
Oh my God.
That's ridiculous. Four years and you're the favorite in every game you play.
Yeah. But think how they got to this point, too. They went through some horrible sanctions, too.
Yeah.
So about the same formula Penn State might be going through. We could be the next Bama here in 5 or 6 years, hopefully.
Yeah. All the recruits go your way and everything. Yeah, it's, you know,
just
very possible.
Fast forward 5 years.
But I think you know, Penn State, considering everything that's gone on, that they're, you know, competitive and, like you said, they're getting recruits. I'm impressed with how they've been able to kind of keep themselves afloat after all that's happened with them.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's – so I guess just last closing on college football. So do you give A&M a chance to come back in the second half?
I think they'll put up some points in the third quarter, but I think Bama's going to end up going away with it. I mean – again, they're just, I mean, there's no reason to bet against them at this point. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Manziel's not like, it's not a big deal if he upsets them this year, you know, like it was last year.
That's a good point, yeah.
So I think they're kind of in the same thing. It's like A&M, they don't really care, but, you know, they're in the same situation as Bama. So.
If A&M was still up at the half right now, I'd give them a chance. But when you play a team and they come out and score 14 points in the first 7 minutes, you're pretty much done. But now Alabama's already leading the game. I guarantee they win by two touchdowns.
Right.
Okay.
Score 28.
I think it's over.
They've turned it on. They'll slow it down the second half. Finish it off.
Oh, why did Michigan lose?
So close. It was so close. So, let's move on as we have some interesting baseball races, especially in the American League wild card. Before we get into that, as you guys know, you guys cheer on the O's. I want to give you guys, we're going to take a minute to marvel at what Chris Davis has pulled off so far this year.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the guy, his swing is, he goes opposite field like it's no big deal. I mean, he's just killing it.
Do you think he's juicing? Probably.
I mean, unfortunately, you have to just sort of, you can't give him the benefit of the doubt now.
You gotta assume.
It's a shame. It really is.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And
I was hoping that Miggy was going to get a back-to-back triple crown, even though I'm rooting against Davis, but it certainly doesn't seem like he's going to take the home run title this year. So.
Not anymore, no. Yeah. That would have been a shame. So how do you like Baltimore's chance of nabbing that second wild card based on their schedule left and everything?
Well, I mean, there's, what, half a dozen teams that are all fighting for it, so unfortunately, it's not one or two teams that are there,
right.
So it's not really just up to them.
Yeah.
So it all depends on what a lot of other teams do, too, and losing those last three to the Yankees certainly didn't help.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that thrust them right back into the wild card race, too.
Right,
that's
tide's
turn.
Too many teams, and they always just don't seem like they have the magic of last year, you know, they just, like...
Right.
They're good, but I don't know. Still...
Well, I think that they're putting up better stats than last year, but the one thing that just made last year so special was the one-run games.
Yeah.
They were like 26-6 or something stupid.
Right.
I forget what it was, but they set all sorts of records with that scenario, and they are now the league's worst in one run games this year. So, like, can't go from being the best to being the worst, and then expect to, you know, still be in the playoff hunt and things like that. But they got a bunch of 2 and 3 pitchers in my mind. They don't have a solid rotation enough to count on the pitching staff to be a good solid playoff team. I think if they could bundle up, you know, Chen with somebody and trade him for a 1 or a 2, then we could start talking. But I just, for some reason, I don't think that their staff is molded right for the playoffs right now.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be their downfall. Just looking, you know, I pay attention to them, obviously, as a Yankee fan, I pay attention to what they do as well. And it just seemed like their Achilles heel was going to be their starting pitching.
Yep, exactly. And the other thing that they've come on this year, there was a stat on the game the other night that they showed where in the innings 1 through 3, the O's run differential was +71. And then in innings 4 through 6, it was -54. So they're clearly, their middle relief is lacking. And, you know, also the depth of the starting pitching that's not making it later into the game. So they're jumping out of the gun pretty well, but they're just not finishing, which is not going to get you places.
That's what the Yankees are running into now. Their bullpen is just taxed. Like yesterday against the Red Sox, they didn't have, you know, two best relievers, Robertson and Rivera, were both unavailable. And I'm thinking it's like 15 games left. Shouldn't it be all hands on deck? There should be no more. Yeah, so I was kind of bummed about that. So they take a 4-4 late, and then they put one of their quote-unquote B relievers and gives up a grand slam, and that's the game. So, so they've dipped back down to 2.5 games out of the wild card. I'm close to throwing in the towel with the Yankees as far as playoff hopes.
It's hard. Let's see. I'm looking at the standings right now. You have Texas is half a game up on Tampa Bay, and then Cleveland's a game and a half back. The Yankees and the O's are 2.5, and Kansas City's 3.5. So 4 teams fighting it out right there that aren't in the wild card hunt right now. So
yeah,
it's an intense finish.
Yeah, it will be. And staying on the local side, I thought the Nats were dead and buried, but I see they're 9-1 in their last 10, and I think they're 5 out of the wild card. Do you guys give them any shot to get any closer than that?
Weren't they like close to 10 back at one point?
They were, yeah. Yeah, they were.
It's unbelievable.
I thought they had no shot at getting. I was shocked when I looked at the standings and saw that they're actually kind of within spinning distance. I mean, I think they don't have enough games to do it, but I'm just shocked they've gotten this close right now.
Well, Dave, take that away. As you can notice, I'm adding a lot to this conversation.
With the Nats, it's funny because, you know, their argument last year with Strasburg was, oh, well, we'll be a normal playoff contender, so we're going to bench him this year and save his arm. And everybody was up in arms by saying, you got to capitalize when your team's hot and you got the guys on the squad at that moment. You have to keep that going. And look at them now. I mean, they're 5 games out with, 15, 16, 17 games to go.
Yeah.
A lot of ground to make up. And now they're not a playoff team.
You know, and I remember that conversation last year, actually, and I was on the side of the fence saying, I mean, the dude came off of major surgery, sit him, you want the future. But now that I think about it, and you think about it so many times, it's just so hard to be a world champion at any sport, and you got to strike while iron's hot. You just have to do it. So, I mean, that definitely opened up my eyes, and if my team ever has a chance to, you know, win a Super Bowl or a championship, and they got to play, and they have a Strasburg situation like that, absolutely I want him on the field giving us a chance.
I disagree, because I do think you have to play for the future. You have to keep that in mind. I don't think that you need to completely rule it out, but look what RG3 did last year. I mean, clearly he was limping around the field, and Shanahan runs him out there, and his knee gets blown to pieces.
Well, yes. I mean, that's a different
thing. It's the same thing.
But Strasburg looked healthy.
He was healthy,
He was hurt.
Well,
he was still
true.
Pitching healthy.
True.
Completely different scenario, I think.
Yeah, RG3 was...
If the guy visibly looks hurt and you can tell he shouldn't be on the field, yes, obviously. But Strasburg, I mean, it's the doctor saying he shouldn't do it. The dude's still throwing 100-mile-an-hour pitches and looks fine. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I think it's a case-by-case scenario, you know?
And it's always hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, now looking at it, they're thinking, oh, wow, we should have started him, but who knows what would have happened if they put on another 50, 60 innings on his arm.
Yeah, I think my point more is, like, if you have a chance to win a championship in any sport, you do everything possible
right
at that point.
Man.
You know?
Play him like you're renting.
Because now, like you said, now look at them now. I mean, they had a chance to go far, and everyone picked them to win the World Series this year, and it's not been too good.
only thing you got is this year, man. Just play.
Yeah. Make it happen.
One of the most dangerous things you can do is think, wait till next year, you know, in sports, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I'll never say that again.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So, yeah, I thought the same thing with the Nats, just that I thought they let a good opportunity go away when they shut him down so early in the season. And they could have used him in that playoff series against the Cards.
Yeah.
So, I think, so as we get to the home stretch here, Mike and I usually will talk, take a few minutes to talk a little pop culture. As we hit September, I know a lot of new shows come back, this and that. I don't know if you guys had any TV shows or whatever on your slate that you're looking forward to coming back, or anything new that has caught your interest.
To me, there's really only one TV show
me
on,
too.
And it's Breaking Bad. That show is ludicrous.
Yeah.
Get it
the
down.
Last episode was pretty sick.
It's down to the last three, right?
Last three.
Yeah, last three. And after the last episode, I feel like the next three, every episode is just going to be all balls out. It's going
to
be crazy.
I mean, there's so many loose ends that they need to wrap up.
That show, I can't watch any other shows. I watch this CBS Under the Dome. Because it has Hank from Breaking Bad, and I'm just like, this is crap. Man. I can't watch this. It's like going from a fine wine down to, you know, a Natty Light or something.
I honestly can't watch any network TV anymore.
Yeah.
Other than
it's bad. Yeah.
I like the cable shows, and then I mean HBO and Showtime shows are just so freaking good.
Once Breaking Bad's done, I can get into something else.
Yeah. I saw Joey. Did you start watching what's called The Bridge on FX?
I haven't. I have them. I heard it was decent, so I recorded those, but I haven't got a chance to delve into it yet.
Is that like a cop murder mystery show?
I think so. I think I remember the premise is I think they find a body between like the Texas and Mexico border.
Okay.
And I think it's where the bridge title comes from. And I think they're kind of the two forces are working together, I think, to solve the murder mystery.
Yeah.
It sounds like. So I'll definitely watch check that one out. Speaking of Breaking Bad, I don't know if you guys saw. I saw there's going to be a prequel spinoff based on Saul's character.
Yeah, I did see that.
I don't know if Saul can carry a show.
I don't. Saul's a great character.
I don't know. Yeah, I know he's a good character, but
do spinoff shows? I mean, I know there's like the Frasier type thing, but
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like with this show, I almost want it to just be protected. Like
I want
it to just end.
Yeah.
I want it to be a perfect ending, and then I want it done. I don't want a movie.
Yeah.
I don't want a spin-off. I don't want any of the other stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it's quickly...
But Saul, it's just a prequel, you know? It could be good to,
could be good.
Lead into it, but you're right. Yeah, it's not going to be...
I mean, I think it's my favorite show of all time. Close to it.
When they talked about the Saul show, are they saying that they're going to use the same writers and Gilligan as, like, the mind behind it, or is it kind of its own thing?
I would hope there's I would hope some of the creative team would be moving on, because I just think that could be dangerous territory if it's like a brand new crew. Because I understand when you like a show, you almost feel protective of it, and you don't want anything to kind of diminish its legacy. So a show like this, which is so good, the last thing you want to see is some, you know, sister show come in and kind of taint what had already been built.
Exactly, right. But it could lead in good, you know, because he had a lot of stuff going on before he met Walt and Jesse. So it could be good to like lead in, show how he like started, you know, seeing them becoming the kingpin, so he became their lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could be cool, but yeah, they got to keep some of the original crew to keep it good.
And did you guys see that they're you can pre-order all the seasons on Blu-ray on Amazon? They give you all sorts of, you know, extra swag within garbage. It's $225.
That sounds like something you'd do.
$200. I gotta do it. There's dummies that are like, give it to me.
Do you know how much like insider info they're gonna have, or like all the commentary?
You know what that is? A waste of freaking money.
Gotta do it, and you're gonna be watching it with me. You know?
No way. Dave, when have I ever said that? I watch one of your $150 DVD cases.
How many
Never.
Of those do I have? Zero.
I don't know, bro. You got a lot going over there. I think you have all seasons of Seinfeld. And the complete like DVD collection.
Well, not Seinfeld.
Yeah,
that's on a different. That's different.
Dave, do you watch? Go back and watch episodes, or you just watch like the extras that come with them?
On Seinfeld,
or any of the sets you have? Yeah.
Well, I haven't Breaking Bad. That's one of those things where I don't know if I would end up getting the series just because I don't know if you could just watch. You can't just watch an episode, you know.
Yeah.
With comedies like Seinfeld or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you can just pop in a DVD and watch a random.
That's true.
So with the Seinfeld ones, though, whenever it's on and I'm home, I'm watching it on TV. I mean, that's it's always on.
Yeah, like
He-Man. He has a lot of seasons of He-Man.
I do like He-Man.
He-Man was great.
He tries to sleep at night sometimes while watching. The other shows I was seeing, I actually canceled HBO and Showtime, but I was a little bitter because I started to see promos for Homeland.
Oh, yes.
When does that start up?
That's at the end of the month. I think I heard that premiere is the same night as the Breaking Bad finale, I believe.
Wow.
Talk about TV getting, huh?
Yeah. Forget that.
I saw the first season of Homeland. I didn't see number two. It's only been two, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The second one was kind of. I just got sick of Claire Danes and her cryy face.
Oh, yeah.
But the first season was really good. The second season, I think this next season could be good, right, Joey?
I think so too.
They ended it.
Yeah, yeah. With Brody on the loose, I think they're going to be searching for him. Pretty much the whole CIA got blown up, so I think that they got a lot to work with.
Yeah, they were having a ceremony, and Tara's bomb went off and pretty much killed off everyone except for Brody, Clara Danes, and Saul.
Maddie Patinkin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Saul. But it's so Saul's now the head man, right? Because Estes died, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And his character annoyed me, too. Mm. So now it's beat Saul being the head man. I think that could be kind of cool.
So, yeah.
So, on Netflix, I need to do a new season now. So what out of like House of Cards is like my number one seed.
Of Cards is amazing.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean, more so than like Mad Men and all those other ones.
You gotta do House of Cards because it's like it's HBO Showtime quality type stuff.
Gotcha.
And it's just a lot of cursing, backstabbing, sex, nudity.
I like those things.
Everything a man likes in a show, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really good.
All.
And you can't go wrong with Kevin Spacey, right? So.
Yeah, he's a fantastic actor. I like the who's the main girl star? I forget her name.
Oh, is it Robin Wright? Is it her?
Not the older lady. The writer. But like the younger chick that's writing. Is that her name?
No, I'm trying to think. Cause I think Robin Wright played his wife. I think.
No. She's not a big significant character. The younger journalist girl.
Okay, I'm gonna look it up.
But I think she's a pretty good actress, so she makes it interesting, too.
Yeah, I heard
and
that was good.
The only other things I can think of is, I don't know if anybody's watching The League or Sunny.
Yeah, watch both of those.
I heard the first episode of Sunny started off horrible, but the ending was phenomenal.
It was.
They were pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one about the episode number two about the guns, where they just basically make fun of both sides of the pro and anti-gun argument, it's awesome.
They're getting back to their roots?
Dude, they just so deadpan about making fun of the guys that make it easy to get guns and then make fun of the people that it's hard to get guns. It's awesome.
But the roots, like, they would pick political, issues and then argue
episode.
It. Yeah.
Right. Abortion
and
episode
I think
where Max jumps the fence.
Oh,
it's unbelievable. Because they have honored chicks.
That's when they were at their best,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Taliban episode. And, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I watched this first Sunny this afternoon. That ending was fantastic.
It's good.
Yeah, that was really good. And Mike, the actress, I think you're thinking of for the House of Cards, is Kate Mara.
Yeah,
she's
gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, I always hear there's a debate who's the better Mara, Kate Mara or Rooney Mara. I hear people always debate about.
Is pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their family owns the Giants and the Steelers, right? If I remember, I heard correctly.
No, Rooney is the Steelers, right?
Yeah, I think they're tied. Yeah, that's why Rooney Mara, I think she's named after that. Yeah, I think that.
Oh.
And then the Maras.
Lord. We got to meet these chicks.
Yeah.
I need to.
You got
that's unbelievable.
So that would be kind of interesting if the Steelers and the Giants played in the Super Bowl.
Wow. I didn't think of that.
That's true.
So, yeah, that's a pretty connected family there. And then finally, I just wanted to see if Mr. Grant there was had anything brewing in his beer blast, if he was working on anything new this as we get to further into close to October, I guess I should say.
Well, I'll open it up, but Dave and JJ are beer drinkers, too. Last weekend, I brewed we wanted to do a barley wine. My buddy's getting married, so we're brewing a beer for his wedding. We're titling it Ball and Chain.
Oh, awesome.
And, hopefully it'll come out good. We didn't have enough time to do the barley wine, so we just made a triple IPA, and we put a ton of malt and a ton of hops in it, and then we put some Maine maple syrup in the fermenter to get it going, and then we got a super yeast that'll eat freaking tons of sugar and basically do a high gravity beer. But it was one of the prettiest looking beers when I was done. It had like this awesome golden amber color. So hopefully it's good. My brother-in-law says it's ripping and tearing right now. So we'll see in about 3 weeks or so. We're going to bottle it. We're going to do some custom labels. But as far as drinking beer for the Penn State game tonight or football games over the weekend, I touched on this last weekend. Pumpkin beers are just huge right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm absolutely drinking a Pump Kick by New Belgium Brewery. It's actually not that bad. I was surprised. I didn't think it was going to – I thought it would be pretty bland, but it's got a pretty nice spice to it. I said Pumpkin is one of my favorites, that southern tier. And then if you get any Goose Island Bourbon County stouts, those are fantastic, heavy, stouty beers that are always really good. And I just tried this Hop Notch IPA from Unita? What is that? I don't even know. Unita Brewing Company? I have no clue. I don't even think I've ever heard of them. Where are they from? Who knows? Do you have any suggestions?
Of course you got to go with the seasonal, the Southern Tier Pumpkin, and then Schlafly Pumpkin is just ridiculous. I mean,
yeah, but that's hard to get your hands on. But if you see Schlafly Pumpkin on the shelves, you definitely have to pick it up, okay. Even if it's $24 for a six pack or some ridiculous amount of money they charge you.
Is that what, like up in PA? It's 12 bucks in Columbia.
Well, up in PA or places that's hard to get, they'll jack the prices.
Wow.
It should only be like 12 or 13 now.
But it seems, I mean, of course, pumpkin beers are like the rage
now. Oh, yeah, I love
that. Every brewing company seems like they have their own version.
Yeah, it's like stepping up a month each year, you know?
Right.
Like next year it's going to be like July, end of July, like the pumpkin beers.
And JJ's drinking a Weyerbacher Imperial Pumpkin Ale.
Yeah,
it's actually
yeah.
pretty good.
GD Podcast fans, save your money. The Shock Top pumpkin wheat.
Pumpkin.
That's where you want to go.
That is the worst decision ever.
God. It crushes this Weyerbacher. Alright.
JJ Four Beers Deep might not be the best person to listen to your beer suggestions.
Hey, I don't even think I got Four Beers Deep.
Yeah.
Shock Top. And now this Weyerbacher is making me fall off.
For all true beer lovers, Shock Talk Pumpkin Wheat does not beat Weyerbacher Imperial Pumpkin Ale.
Absolutely not. Absolutely it does. All right, Joe, I'm going to go get a Shock Top Pumpkin Wheat.
I'm good, man. But yeah, so those are beer suggestions, and I think this has been awesome doing it all together.
Yeah, this has been really good. Dave, JJ, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you guys coming on.
Absolutely.
So we thank you all for listening. As always, you can tweet the podcast at the GD Podcast, or you can shoot us an email at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. For JJ, Dave, Mike, this is Joe Dighton. Thanks for listening to the GD Podcast, and we will talk to you next time.